That was like Chinese food fast.
No faster fast than Chinese food fast.
Seriously, I mean, I hit a button and then it was there.
Well, I was ready.
I can tell. This is the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast with your host, Andrew Laird, Mike Gottlieb. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. I am Mike Gottlieb, your host, along with Andrew Laird at RotoWire Andrew on the Twitter. I am at Sports by Gotti on Twitter. Welcome back. Here we took a week off for the FA Cup last weekend. It was actually very uneventful for me. Andrew, did you watch at all the FA Cup?
Not really. I put in a few minutes on the Preston North End Man U match since winner was going to play Arsenal, and then when I saw that my cousin Scott Laird netted the opener, I thought maybe they had a chance, and then off goes Falcao, United score 3, and there we go.
I've not seen someone look more depressed about coming off a field than Radamel Falcao.
It was awful.
I didn't know if it was sweat or tears on his face.
Oh, it's absolutely tears.
Yeah. Well, either way, in the spirit of Lent, the season of Lent, what are you giving up for Fantasy Premier League, for at least for the rest of this season?
Everton.
What or who?
Everton.
All things Everton?
All of them. I want part of them.
You want no Leighton Baines, no Ross Barkley, Kevin Morales, no Seamus, Aaron Lennon.
Seamus Coleman, none of them. Tim Howard.
No Romelu Lukaku.
No, I've seen enough. They're clearly not going to finish anywhere and near the top five. I'll give them 5 since they compete in Europa, but I just don't see how they do it.
Will they? I'm assuming now you're going to say that they will not win Europa and get to the Champions League next year.
I don't think they win Europa, no.
Do you think an English team wins Europa?
It's either them or Spurs, right? Is that the only ones left?
Correct.
No, I don't. Liverpool's in too. But no, I don't think so. The teams that got knocked out of the Champions League, including Liverpool, I think are much better than all. I mean, we're looking at like Napoli and Roma. I can't even think of who the Spaniard, I guess.
Sociedad?
Yeah. Is that who it was?
Well, I think
it was Athletic, right?
That's right. Bilbao, excuse me.
So they probably won't. German teams all made it, but I don't think it's going to be an English team. Well, at least not Everton or Spurs.
Yeah. Well, for me, I didn't go quite as far as to damn an entire team. But although, if in that spirit, I will. I can't even say all of Hull because I actually ranked a Hull City player two Hull City players this week. But fantasy wise, I am likely giving up on all things Aston Villa. Mm. I've liked Guzan in sneaky starts. I've liked Benteke, of course. Carlos Heel looked like he's promised, but he's injured. So it's just I think that's who I'm giving up for Lent.
Okay.
I know it's not as sexy of a pick as Everton. Not as but actually, you know what? I'll go a step up. All things Newcastle.
Mm.
I've never been a big Remy Cabella fan, and Daryl Yanmott, who I'm sure you have a nice stat for later on in the podcast, but I'm not going to buy into any of them. The team's just too inconsistent and lacks a true identity.
Yeah.
So that would be my.
Do they have a manager? I don't even remember at this point.
No, not yet. There's a rumor going around. There's a couple of rumors of who would be interested.
Okay.
But they currently are employed, and I will not tamper. So I'll let the rumor mill shake it out. You can all Google it. It's all pretty entertaining stuff.
You know what I think is a little weird with how many openings there are, and AVB never gets mentioned. I think he never comes back?
Well, not for England. Not in England.
Never?
No, he ruined 2 high-profile teams. Not ruined is too strong.
I was going to say that.
He just wasn't up to snuff for 2 high-profile teams.
Yeah, but... But he's not. He doesn't have to come back to a high-profile team.
Well, why would he? Why would he? Is my point then?
You don't think like the Newcastle job is better than Zenit?
Zenit makes the Champions League.
That's true. That's true.
So it's
I have plenty of opinions of AVB, but I'm just surprised that he never even gets mentioned.
He was probably your favorite manager of the Premier League ever.
You have no idea.
Took two of your primary rivals and just ruined them.
Temporarily.
But let's get on with the games this week here. We have game week 26, and we start off on Saturday. There are no early games, no 7:45 affairs. So we all start at 10 o'clock here, and the first one we'll go to is one that I'm predicting as a very low-scoring affair, Sunderland at home against West Brom. West Brom, of course, going back to form with a clean sheet for Tony Pulis. And surprisingly, he's found an offensive force in Brown Ide, who I think I know I ranked this week. Did you rank Ide this week?
We all kind of ranked him near the bottom, yeah.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on this game in terms of potential scoring and any options you like here?
Yeah, Ide definitely seems like, I read earlier
actually, you know
today.
What? Hold on a second. I'll make it real easy. Would you rather have Jermaine Defoe or Brown Ide this week?
Oh, that's kind of where I was going with that. I think I would rather go with Defoe, only because I'm still high on Berahino. So I'd rather put my eggs in the Berahino basket than the Ide basket. But there was talk that...
I thought you were going to say the brown basket to keep the alliteration, but anyway, keep going.
Oh, sorry. apparently, Pulis tried to get rid of Ide and essentially had a deal done or almost done just before the deadline. And I forget who it was now, but essentially the other side pulled out. And
Carlton Cole.
Was Carlton Cole. That's right. I was thinking it was Carlton Cole, and I thought to myself, that can't possibly be right. But so he stayed, and he's been excellent since staying, but I'd still rather Berahino and Defoe.
Oh, both. So you'd rank him third in that group.
Yeah, I do. And I did this week.
I'd rank him second. I'd put him in front of Berahino.
Okay.
I think Berahino's young. I think he may hit a wall, but Brownie Day hasn't hit that wall yet.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of a score, do you think both teams have goals here or no teams have goals here?
I hate to say I wouldn't be surprised either way. I do think there are goals, though. Yeah, I don't necessarily think this is a scoreless one, like another one that we may talk about later.
Yeah, I actually do think this one is, if anything, a scoreless affair because both teams need a point, and I don't think either of them are going to really go after the other.
That's fair.
So I don't see many goals in this game. If let's say if I put the over-under at 1.5, I would definitely go under.
Yeah, that's fair.
Would you go under as well?
With how highly I ranked Berahino and Defoe, I would have to take the over.
All right. So I just want to point out that 2 weeks ago that the over unders that we said on the podcast, I happened to hit both unders and they were both correct.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah. I remember the ones I get right, guys, because they're so few and far between. It's just as impressive to get 90% wrong as it is to get 90% correct. Hard to be wrong or right. Most of it, like that often. Yeah, I'm not one of the best in the business for nothing, guys. All right, but the next game here we have on the list is Aston Villa at home against Stoke City. I can't think of a less entertaining game than these first two that I've mentioned here, or two less entertaining.
These are brutal.
Games. Yeah, good thing there's two other games that are going on at the same time, so you don't have to watch these games. There are four others. So Aston Villa at home against Stoke. Aston Villa, the Paul Lambert list now. Aston Villa against Mark Hughes' Stoke City. Again, where's the offense coming from in this, and would you use anyone?
I'm looking over my rankings and thinking to myself.
Tim Sherwood.
Tim Sherwood's Aston Villa, yeah. What's weird is that I didn't rank any offensive players, but I also didn't rank any defensive players, including goalkeepers. So it's almost like I skipped this game entirely, much like I will do on Saturday. it's weird because Benteke seems to have lost his starting job, or at least he did, you know, in the interim.
Paul Lambert.
Right. I don't know if Sherwood. Well, I think he was after. I mean, he hasn't started since he got fired either. I think they played one or two matches. So, although he might have gotten a start in that FA Cup match. But anyway, I would think that Sherwood would start him only because, I mean, he is their best player, isn't he? I'm not really going to make the argument that Agbonlahor is better.
Yeah, I mean, Guzan would be the player that would be the best player.
I just meant, outfield players,
I don't think it's that close. I mean, Carlos Heel was flashy, but I don't know if it'll stick.
Right. And so, theoretically, he should be there. You know, both of these teams have shown some pretty solid defensive capabilities over the season. Stoke not as much on the road. But, I don't know, I feel like this one could be kind of a few fluky goals. Or it could be one of those random ones that ends up like, you know, 5-4 with six lead changes.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the latter. I would take the under again on 1.5.
Yeah, so you'll take the former.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, but I don't want to talk about this game too much because there's not many fantasy implications here unless...
Well, Christian the defensive ones, yeah.
Well, no, still because both teams are inconsistent defensively.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you going to trust Aston Villa to keep Peter Crouch out of the net, even if it's only for 5 minutes at the end of the game?
Yeah, that's fair.
Absolutely not. And the same goes of, you know, Christian Benteke against the Stoke City defense, which has been uncharacteristically bad this season, especially against set pieces too. But either way, not much going on in that game. No consistent option, at least. But we'll move on to the league leaders, Chelsea, who were playing at home against Burnley. This game looks like it's a total blowout on paper, but I talked to you a little bit about the podcast off the podcast. You know, is there a team that you would less like to play than Burnley as a trap game in between two games against PSG in the Champions League?
It's a great question, and I'm not sure there is. I thought maybe when Charlie Austin was scoring on everybody that QPR might give them a challenge, but Burnley's definitely better, and Burnley has shown that they can get a few different guys involved with George Boyd and
Ashley Barnes always has and, Scott Arfield.
Yeah, Arfield gets involved a little bit. So that's a great question. I still don't think they're going to pose any real challenge. I mean, where Chelsea at home is much different than Manchester United at home.
And so speaking of Chelsea here, outside of Eden Hazard, rank the midfielders.
Fabregas, I would definitely put second. And then the problem is that you're at the mercy of squad rotation. In speaking with you, who has a little bit more of a Chelsea knowledge than I do, it seems that Cuadrado would be ahead of Oscar. And so
it depends for me. I mean, obviously, I think Oscar's spot in the lineup is going to be more sparse because Willian can play in the middle, mm-hmm. in the number 10 role, which he has shown and scored when he was there. One game, one goal,
yep.
As the number 10.
Would they play Cuadrado in the middle or no?
No, he is an out winger. Okay. They'd play him at right back before they play him at center attacking.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, so you're looking at essentially Oscar or Willian in the middle there. And like you said, Willian's did pretty well in that one appearance, so or that one start there. So, so then Cuadrado is ahead of both of them because you know.
Well, if I don't know if Cuadrado's made a statement to be permanently in the lineup. I mean, I'm not gonna say that Cuadrado is an instant success so far. He hasn't given any offensive return yet. Yep. So,
and
he's just like Willian. He runs around. He's very quick, and he tries to get the ball back. He's very aggressive defensively as well as offensively.
So, what about the possibility of playing Hazard on one side, Cuadrado on the other, and Fabregas up in the number 10, and then Matic and Ramirez behind him, like they did yesterday?
I wouldn't be surprised if that starts to happen more often. But I wouldn't be surprised if it happens more often, but I'm not sure if that's the way Mourinho wants to play every day.
Yeah, I don't think he wants Fabregas that high up.
Correct, because I don't think Fabregas has the speed anymore. So
you don't have to think that. He doesn't.
Yeah. So it's just it's something where he needs to be further back so we can pick the passes out. So
right,
I think that's
exactly why.
And they play more 4-1-4-1 than 4-2-3-1 anyway. So it just works out better that way. But I think, you know, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the Chelsea rotation as someone who's not a Chelsea fan, so it's a little more objective.
Yeah.
All right, but we'll go on here to your team. Crystal Palace are at home. Not Crystal Palace, but Crystal Palace are at home against your team, Arsenal.
Rebecca Lowe's Crystal Palace.
That is true. She is a Palace supporter. And Palace had shown signs of early life under Pardew. Is that now, has the shine worn off a little bit? Or with all the people coming back from the Cup of Africa Cup of Nations, Asia Cup, are they going to be on the, are they still going to be ascending, do you think?
Yeah, I think they're still ascending. And I think this is, I think this match is going to be really entertaining. I think there are going to be goals on both sides. Pardew and Wenger seem to really like each other. Is Pardew even French? It sounds French.
No, but he loves,
but he French. Loves French players.
Or players that speak French.
Yeah, exactly.
These two.
Right. So, I think this is actually going to be a really open game with a few goals. So I was hesitant to throw in any defensive options here while I was quite comfortable with, you know, guys like, well, obviously guys like Sanchez and Giroud and Ozil, but I also threw in, you know, Punchin, and you could make the case for Bolasie. Jednak's still out, so that's tough. I'm not sure what they're doing up front. Obviously Sonogo's not going to play. Not that he's, you know, a dominant goal scorer, but he's a body. So theoretically, Dwight Gale gets the start up top again, next to Fraser Campbell, maybe, or Shamak. But I, like I said, I think there are goals on both sides here.
I agree. I believe there are goals on both sides. I'm very high on Olivier Giroud's prospects this week, particularly. Arsenal love to give up set piece goals too. So someone someone like Breda Heingel end as well as a sneaky defensive option. He's even taller than Per Mertesacker. It's certainly going to be an interesting battle to see those two run really slowly after each other in the box. But that's what I'll be watching for, guys. All the interesting stuff, of course. But same thing with Arsenal's midfield. Outside of Alexis Sanchez, rank the midfield.
Ozil.
So you have Ozil in front of Cazorla.
I do. Mostly because I like how he's scoring more now than setting up. I really like Ozil on the wing. I think he's much more effective. I think Cazorla in the number 10 and Ozil out wide is much better than the flip of that. Whether Ozil likes it or not, you know, he plays out there with Germany, and I think they've obviously, you know, found something because he's scored, I think it was almost every game since he's come back. So, you know, you get more points for goals and assists, so I'll take that. Obviously, Cazorla still takes the penalties and, you know, most of the free kicks. But, yeah, I like Ozil. I like Cazorla. And then I would probably put Walcott ahead of a fit Ramsey. Ramsey's pretty much never fit, though, at this point. And neither is Oxlade-Chamberlain, so I won't even include him. Wilshire's supposed to come back, but I've never been a huge Wilshire fan anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to get on that bandwagon. But Crystal Palace-wise, would you start a Jason Punchin or a Yannick Bolasie this week in fantasy?
Yeah, both. Okay. I'd have no problem with it.
Yeah. All right, so we'll move on here to Swansea City at home against Manchester United. What do you make of the Manchester United attack, or lack thereof?
It seems like Van Gaal is trying to solve a problem that didn't exist. That things seem to be working fine when Di Maria was in the midfield and Rooney was up front. And he somehow, or some reason, discovered a problem that could only be fixed by Rooney playing further back, which has all but ruined his fantasy value as a forward. You know, he'd be a strong, not even that strong, but he'd be a decent fantasy midfielder if, you know, games switched that quickly. But I'm not sure what, you know, RVP is now all of a sudden the most consistent option, which wasn't the case early on. Falcao.
We already talked about his tiers.
Right. Yeah. As a soccer fan's sake, I hope they let him go just so that he can play somewhere that makes sense. But I don't know what to make of it other than RVP is pretty much the only one I trust.
Yikes. Right. That's not that. Yeah.
Not that he's a terrible player, but like when you have Di Maria and Rooney and you can't possibly plug them into any lineup and feel confident.
would you rather have Di Maria or Sigurdsson?
In this one?
And for fantasy purposes.
I'm saying this week or?
This week.
I have Sigurdsson ranked one spot ahead of Di Maria.
Okay, so that definitely answers that. That's how far he's fallen.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is Sigurdsson who hasn't played.
Yep.
And no longer has Wilfred Bony to pass to.
Yep. It's funny because they've played.
They still rather have him.
Swansea has played. Yeah, I would. Swansea has played, certainly against the Man U defense. Swansea has played so many games without Bony, and yet I feel like we're waiting for him to actually play for City to decide how Swansea looks without him. Does that make sense?
I understand.
Yeah. Like we know what they look like without him. He was never coming back from the Africa Cup of Nations, and everyone's like, all right, you know. This Swansea team who's still without Wilfred Bony. It's like, yeah, they're still without him, and they're forever going to be without him. This is what we have. We know this. Obviously,
it's not official until he wears blue.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, Sigurdsson being out threw that off a little bit because he's, you know, their best player. But I don't want to say I was right about Gomis, but I didn't love all the immediate love that he was going to be.
Well, you also asked me if we should get up on the John Joe Shelby train.
Yeah, he scored recently, didn't he?
Yeah, once. But
it was just
anyway. Conversation.
It was.
It's true.
I wasn't going out and buying a John Joe Shelby t-shirt.
Yeah, or getting John Joe Shelby's haircut.
Right.
Exactly. Right. All right, so we'll move on to this is a relegation battle if there ever was one. Hull City at home against QPR. Is Charlie Austin going to be back for this game?
Maybe. He was supposed to be back, but these guys are so cautious with what they say. And some of them just lie, like Mourinho. So he should be back. He's supposed to be back.
Gotcha. So would you start Charlie Austin if you knew that he was starting?
No.
Would you start Hull City's defensive options because you're not confident in anyone on QPR?
I would definitely consider it, you know, depending on some salary cap or where, you know, what else I have an opportunity. But you and I went with Robertson because he's pretty much the only one that you'd probably trust.
Yeah, and he's actually a very good defender.
Yep.
I think he if Hull goes down this year, he should find a way onto another team.
Yeah,
I agree. The Premier League next year, whether it's one of the promoted teams or one of the mid-table sides, I think he will find his way over to another team. But it's interesting on our rankings. I believe Mozinski ranked Hull's, you're going to have to help me with the pronunciation here, but Dame Ndoye?
I'm not going to correct you one way or the other, unfortunately. I don't have the...
You don't have the pronunciation sheets in front of you? Anyway.
That's exactly how I would pronounce it, though.
Gotcha. So Mozinski ranked him, and he didn't rank him like 15th as far as forwards is concerned.
No, he did not.
So... if you want to look at our rankings, by the way, they are up for free on rotowire.com/soccer. Just click on the rankings page at the top. But that seemed like a very interesting choice. So he must think that Hull are going to score. Do you think Hull are going to score against QPR? All right, I'll give you the other over-under. Over-under 1.5 in this game.
I would take the under.
Yeah, I would too. But let's say if you were thinking it was one goal, which team do you think gets it? You think it's Hull?
I think it is. Yeah.
Would you most likely scenario 0-0?
I think it's actually 1-0. And I think Chris may have found the goal score. The reason why he did it. So I'm looking at, what did we say it was? Dioy.
Ndoye, I believe. I think there's an apostrophe there.
Right. So he played 86 minutes against Aston Villa in his second match with them, first start. A goal, an assist, 4 shots, 3 on goal, and he drew 5 fouls. He also committed 5. So he's pretty aggressive, it seems.
He wants that ball.
Right. I have no faith in Jelovic or Hernandez or...
Ramirez.
Right, Ramirez... Mo Diame's still out.
Yep.
Which is really
killing him.
The team completely changed. I think that, you know, supposedly he's going to be back soon, but you just never know. But the team just totally changed with him out of the lineup. And, you know, it's not like we're talking about, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo here. You know, like, yeah, he was playing well, but it's amazing how different this team is without him on the field.
Yeah, but when you have a good box-to-box midfielder, it really makes a difference. Yeah. Just ask Chelsea, just ask Arsenal, because they haven't had one since... I can't even remember.
Yeah.
But
let's
it's
not go
just...
down that road.
I'm sorry?
Let's not go down that road.
Yeah, exactly. It's a long road.
Yeah.
Thanks. But, yeah, you're welcome. I take no pleasure in it. But, I mean, for Hull and QPR, this game really means a lot, which normally means it's a draw. Because no team wants to lose.
But you don't think they go balls out because they need the 3 points?
They can't afford to have zero.
QPR can on the road. Can't they?
I would say it would be more beneficial for QPR to take the 2 points away, you know, or to stay level and just have a game go by. Time is QPR's friend in this case. So we'll see. We'll see. I think it's most likely 0-0, and you think it's most likely 1-0.
I think it is, yeah.
All right. But in that case, though, we both ranked McGregor for Hull.
You and Chris did.
Well, me and Chris ranked McGregor for Hull. So I mean, if it is 0-0, obviously all defensive options are good options here. So Andrew Robertson and Alan McGregor, between the two of us, would be the best options to go with.
Yeah.
But we'll move on.
Before we do, I'll add that Robert Green leads the league in saves, QPR's goalie. So
that's because
if you think it's 0-0, you might as well get the guy who gets all the saves.
You're also assuming that Hull shoots a lot.
That's fair.
So we'll see.
Against QPR at home.
At home they might. Yeah. We'll if QPR sit back and play counterattacking, they might. Mm-hmm. You're right. But something to look out for sure. Lots of good defensive options here, but not a lot of good offensive options. All right, but we'll move on to Man City against Newcastle. Obviously, the big question here, does Aguero and Boney start together? Because Boney and Yaya Toure are back from the African Cup of Nations where they won together for the Ivory Coast. So do you feel that Boney and Aguero start? We know Yaya's starting.
Yeah, I think they almost have to start Aguero and Boney. What's just strange is that the two of them play really well by themselves. And we haven't really seen Boney play with another striker, especially one that is as dominant as Aguero. So my guess is, yes, they'll play them together just because they have to figure it out. You know, they paid quite a bit of money to bring him in. They have him for the Champions League, so you might as well see what you have against Newcastle when you're at home, you know?
I think that Aguero is formation proof because he's such a willing runner. He can play, you know, he can slot in behind.
We've seen him score plenty of goals with Dzeko and Jovetic. It's actually Boney I'm more worried about.
Correct. So I think of the two, and it's going to be priced this way in most games, you know, Aguero is going to be safer and more expensive. But if Boney starts, I think there's a nice opportunity here, especially because they're at home against Newcastle, who I have already said that I'm giving up on for Lent, at least for the next 40 days and 40 nights. But
yes, the nights are included.
Indeed. It's a real big mismatch game, and it's such a big mismatch game that you have to feel you can even be comfortable with Joe Hart, who we all rank second.
Yep. Begrudgingly.
Yeah, the last time we thought that Chelsea and Man City were going to get clean sheets, neither of them did.
No, they didn't.
So we might be set up for that grandeur again.
In fact, I think Man City gave up multiple goals.
It did. And of course, I started Joe Hart that weekend. Mm-hmm. So it's just, and I might be doing it again this weekend. Well, you'll find out in Daily Dose later. But Newcastle wise, is there anyone here that you would start? Obviously, you know my answer is no.
Yeah, I'm staying away.
Even from Daryl Yanmat, who you informed me has how many assists this season?
He has 5, which is the second most assists from a defender in the entire Premier League.
And who has the most?
Leighton Baines has 8, and nobody else has more than 3.
So that's why Leighton Baines is consistently at the top of rankings, everybody. Right. Even though he doesn't get as many clean sheets as he did last year. Mm-hmm. And this recent run, by the way, of the Everton defense, who we can actually – we'll transition to them a little bit in a little bit. But so I'll keep Everton for a little bit later. But let's move on to the Sunday games here. The first one is at 7 a.m., so you got to wake up for this one. Nice and early. Nice and early for the for a London derby, a West London derby, I guess, here, yeah? The Northwest and the Southwest.
Maybe stretching it a little bit, but...
Yeah, maybe a little bit. But it is a London derby, nonetheless. Tottenham against West Ham. Tottenham at home here at White Hart Lane.
Some of the worst camera angles in the entire Premier League.
Because it's at White Hart Lane or because...
No, at White Hart
really
Lane.
Bad camera angles.
No, wait, they're just... No. The camera angles at White Hart Lane are absolutely horrible. Like, I feel like they're filming like from a blimp. I've had this conversation with a friend of mine that you literally cannot watch these games if you're hungover. You can't do it.
Which is a possibility at 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
But going to fantasy Premier League here, Harry Kane, God, you got to love his chances in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. We all rated him really highly, and Christian Eriksen too. We liked. Well, we all stayed away from your boy Nasir Chadli, but yeah, Kane and Eriksen are immediate plays.
Nasir Chadli was, by the way, get close to that Lent list. By the way, so disappointed.
But, you could only do the days. You couldn't do the nights. So
correct. I couldn't. Yeah, exactly. Very good. But West Ham-wise, Andy Carroll looks like he's done for the season. It was only a matter of time.
Yeah. Nice run while it lasted.
Exactly. I mean, it was nice while it lasted, but that just means that it's Enner Valencia and Diafra Sakho up top. Mm-hmm. And that non-selling of Carlton Cole looks pretty clairvoyant by Sam Allardyce.
Yeah, he's a difference maker now.
Hey, if you need someone to come off the bench, he's ready.
Yeah, that's what he'll do.
But Tottenham-wise, let's say Stuart Downing or would you rather have Stuart Downing or Christian Eriksen this week?
I'm taking Eriksen because it's at White Hart Lane.
Gotcha. And goalkeeper-wise, would you rather have Adrian or Lloris?
I don't think this one is scoreless on either side, so I'd actually take Adrian I think he'll get more saves.
Gotcha. All right, that's a very fair point. I actually was not thinking about that, so that's a very, very, very good point. But Lloris, though, if you have like those peripheral stat leagues, I think Taga comes to mind, like when they do clearances or punches.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they do punches. I think that's
or takes, goalkeeper 11. Takes. Mm-hmm. Lloris has got to be one of the leaders in goalkeeper takes because he's so aggressive.
Yeah, maybe.
But just look out for peripheral stats. And Lloris has played been playing really, really well. So
yeah. So we talked about him at the beginning of the season when they brought in Vorm. And we said Lloris will definitely be sold in January because there's no reason to have both of those guys. And they still have both of them. You think he's gone in the summer? Or did they just make a mistake buying
Vorm? It's a great question. I have no idea why they have Vorm.
Well, it seems like they had to have brought him in with the idea that they could sell Lloris. And he's had a good enough season that
very good season.
PSG should become.
Real Madrid are interested.
Yeah, there's no reason for him to go there. But
PSG is also interested.
Yeah.
Which is much more of a
That's the call. I mean...
We'll see. I think he leaves because they'll do a nice piece of business on him probably.
You would think.
We'll see. But Vorm not playing for a year is not going to be in tip top shape.
Mm-hmm. Well, does he start the Europa matches? I don't even know.
I don't follow Tottenham in the Europa League. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I'm a Premier League and Chelsea and Champions League only guy.
I think he's actually just a Capital One. Although, yeah, I think he'll be in goal for that. Speaking of Chelsea, that Capital One Cup match.
Yeah, well, I'll take check.
Josie's first trophy back.
We'll see. I don't predict anything. Not remember what happened last time Chelsea played Tottenham.
Yeah.
Got kind of crushed.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. But we'll move on here to Everton. I was teasing this a little bit before, but Everton in recent games, actually, until last week, they had 3 consecutive clean sheets. So defensively, they kind of tightened things up a little.
All of Liverpool was locked down defensively.
That's right. But Everton are at home against Leicester, which you have to feel is a decent matchup here. I ranked Leighton Baines pretty highly. What do you feel about Everton's defensive prospects here?
You have to like them.
You know, every time we say that we like them, they give up two or three goals.
Yep. Yeah, I think – I don't know if they're necessarily figuring it out either. Baines has actually not even played the last two games, so there's – you know, maybe they're better with him not playing defense, but he's just in way too many opportunities to score to ignore, especially against a Leicester side that could be playing in the Championship next year.
Yeah, it looks like that way. And would you start any of the Everton offensive options? I know you said that you're giving them up for Lent, but even in this matchup,
I ranked Lukaku 15th out of 15, and I didn't. Touch and I didn't do include.
That's almost like a sympathy ranking.
That's how I felt. And you could probably convince me of a few other guys I would have put instead of him. Mm. But I didn't rank Morales. I didn't rank Barkley. No Naismith.
Aaron Lennon.
No Lennon. I didn't take any other defensive options. I didn't do Coleman or...
Yeah, well, Phil Jagielka is a decent option if he's cheap enough.
I guess, yeah. I didn't even rank Howard, so...
Or Joel, if Joel plays. Who knows who's going to play goal there now?
I think it's still Howard now.
Yeah. Well, they both have played very well, so... Yeah. Things are cautiously optimistic at Everton, you'd say?
For others, I'm going to stay away.
English optimism?
Maybe.
Yeah. All right, but we'll move on to they like the weather. We'll move on to Southampton at home against Liverpool. This is a tricky matchup to call. Sturridge is back. It looks like Mario Balotelli may be in the mix again.
Mm-hmm.
Raheem Sterling has been good. Southampton defensively has been phenomenal.
Yeah, they've been phenomenal, and they've been so banged up. Like we,
Matthew Target even got. Yeah.
Not to go back to this, but when we did our Southampton West Ham,
no, you can go back wager, to it. Gloat away.
The issue that Southampton had was depth. That, like we said, they're not nearly deep enough to withstand that. And if they have a few injuries, you know, they're going to be in trouble. And they lost Alderweireld for a little bit. Bertrand's been suspended. Klein's been banged up. They lost Yoshida for a bit. Target's out now. Ward-Prowse was out. Schneiderlin was out. Wanyama was gone. And they've figured
Mane
out this. Mane was gone. And they've gotten by with guys like Elia and
Pele may as well have been gone.
Pele, yeah. Well, I think the stats are a little unfair to Graziano Pele, to be honest.
He gets the post a lot.
He is second in the top five European leagues in hitting the woodwork this year behind Lionel Messi. Saw that stat the other day. So
where,
who scored,
Okay.
I believe Messi was at 9 and Pele's at 6.
I'm glad they keep track of this stuff.
And yeah, that's great. So
anything to prove Andrew Laird, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So they, you know, that's, however you want to look at it, I look at that as more unlucky than anything else. You know, like those, you know, 6 inches over and those are goals. Obviously 6 inches over and they're just clear misses.
Just wide.
Yeah. But those are, you know, we've talked about those before. Those are shots that are not on target, but they're smashing side of the target. Yeah. Well, even if he got half of those goals, you know, we're looking at a much different player. So I think the stats kind of show you, make you think that he's not attacking and that he's just kind of running through games, not doing anything. And that's not the case.
Yeah. It doesn't help him that the wingers are scoring a bunch too.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
And Southampton are a defensive minded team.
Right.
So speaking of which, defensive options in this game, would you go with any of them? I know you've been on record before saying that you play Southampton's defense against pretty much anybody.
Yeah, I ranked Forster, but I actually didn't rank any defenders. Bertrand's suspended for this one, so...
Yep. I didn't rank any either. And
Klein is theoretically the only other one you would really pick.
Or Maya Yoshida.
I think Yoshida might be... Is he?
Yeah, he might. Yeah, I didn't know if he was going to play, yeah. So I didn't rank him.
I think Yoshida might be out. or yeah. at least
it's limited.
Yeah, these guys have been, every one of them have been so hurt. You know, I think Alderweireld might come back, but you know, who knows? But yeah, they strangely enough, they feel very much like Arsenal in that they have all of these midfielders, and you're just not sure where they should all play. Like James Ward-Prowse, you feel like should definitely be on the field, but and he has been, but then they sit Tadic, and Tadic seems good enough to play. You know, it's like Elia, Tadic, Mane, Ward-Prowse, and then they have Schneiderlin, more of a defensive. They play Wanyama back there too, so like it's a, you know, clearly it's a good problem to have, but
which means that Schneiderlin's gone.
Well, yeah. That was the hope.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. But, I mean, going back to the original question, though, would you use Southampton defensively in this matchup?
I stayed away.
Would you use Liverpool defensively in this matchup?
No.
Okay. So, over under 1.5 goals, you'd go over?
Yeah, I would.
Over under 2.5 goals, would you go over?
Oh, that's a good number. I'll go over. It's a little more fun to go over.
All right. Yeah, you get to root for everybody.
Yeah.
I'm going to go under. So I'm going to root for nobody. I think, once again, this is a game where they're both playing so well, I don't see them losing their defensive shape, which has been good for both teams recently. Southampton all year, Liverpool recently. It's going to be, I'm really looking forward to watching this game on Sunday.
Yeah, should be the better.
I think this is the better game of the weekend. I mean, Tottenham West Ham will be entertaining, but I think Southampton Liverpool is the game to watch this weekend.
Yeah.
All right. And speaking of the game of the weekend, we're going to go through our daily dose, and we're going to give you our picks for the weekend in terms of who will be the best performers of the weekend. This week we're doing Mondo Goal, our friends over at Mondo Goal. And this week, Andrew, I'll let you start with your, I'm assuming, 3-4-3 setup.
Yep.
And goalie.
Yeah, I'm going to preface that I hate this team.
That's good. That's a good start.
Yeah, I just, no matter what I did, I didn't get 11 guys I really wanted.
Yeah, Mondo Goal really upped their game in terms of pricing. I noticed that as well. The pricing was drastically different from 2 weeks ago, and probably 2 years ago too. But definitely from 2 weeks ago, and I think it's going to make the game significantly more difficult. There'll be much more volatility for each player. There isn't a player that I saw there. It's like, oh, everyone's going to be on this guy.
Yeah, yeah, I feel that way. And the other thing is I feel like it's gotten very top-heavy. I don't remember this many players over, you know, 12 or 13 million.
Yeah, like I said, that's what makes the game difficult.
Yep, yep.
So,
but yeah. So anyway, I decided not to stack my goalkeeper and defenders, mostly because I couldn't afford it. But because of some prices later on, I ended up having a little money left over. So my goalkeeper is Thibaut Courtois, who's at 7.4, which is usually not where I spend my money, and I'm still furious about it. But I've coupled him with 7.6 Pablo Zabaleta, 6.2 Vincent Kompany, which is really just a clean sheet play. Like, Kompany doesn't really do enough.
I mean,
sporadically.
You're doubling up on Man City.
Right. I load up on Man City, but I refused to include Joe Hart.
Okay.
And then I spent $8.1 million on Aaron Cresswell, which is another one I don't really love, but I don't think, you know, I think there are goals in that one. And with Cresswell taking a lot of the free kicks, I kind of like that possibility.
So I went with Pablo Zabaleta as well as one of my defenders. However, I did have the gumption to double up with Joe Hart at 7.1, which was a decent price.
Yep.
So and then I also went with Julian Lescott at 7.8 and Patrick Van Aanholt of Sunderland at 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
So not too much spending, but not as little spending as, you know, that's stereotypical for me in this game format.
Do you have money left over?
I have 300,000 left.
So not a ton. So you can get Courtois.
I could, but I'd rather. I didn't pick a Chelsea defender, so it's just, and I couldn't afford any.
Right. That's exactly where I ended up. I took the Man City guys, and then I just didn't I couldn't pull the trigger on Hart, so I went with Courtois.
Yeah, I can't afford any
Chelsea defenders.
Yeah, I'm never going to blame you for taking Thibaut Courtois over Joe Hart. You're never gonna hear me say that. So, it's just with volatility in mind, you know, for weekly formats, I almost always double up.
Yeah.
So, and either way, I'll go on to my midfield now. My midfield is a bunch of mediocre guys, a bunch of players either playing mediocre or priced mediocre. So I have Yannick Bolasie at 6.8. I have Victor Moses at 8.2. I have Jason Puncheon, and I don't know his pricing because 7-6. It's covered. Thank you very much. 7.6. And I have Angel Di Maria at 12.6.
Wow.
I have no idea why I picked Angel Di Maria. I just have a feeling.
So
that's the caption of this team, by the way. I've got a feeling.
Puncheon and Bolasie is really something. So you liked Di Maria at 12.6 more than, I'm just going to read off some of the names that you could have had.
Erickson's probably the one that's on your list there.
I had Erickson and ended up dropping him actually, but you could have had, where is Erickson?
I think he's at.
Oh, he's even cheaper. Sorry, I'm clicking. All right, so Erickson's at 11.1. So you could have Erickson at 11.1. You could have Coutinho, Oscar.
I like Di Maria better than Coutinho.
What about David Silva?
Well, with the way, I don't know how David Silva's going to play now that Yaya's back.
Yeah, but he's pretty good. I mean, he was good when Yaya was there.
Not as good.
Well, he was good when Yaya was there and Aguero was out. Yeah. When they were without Aguero, Jovetic, and...
Yes. When David Silva played striker, he was great.
Anyway, so I also had Puncheon and I also had Moses. Stoke at Aston Villa at with 8.2 million for Moses, I think was just...
It's enticing.
Yeah. The difficulty I had... This is another one that like... So I also went with Stuart Downing at 9.8 and... I went with Silva.
Someone who doesn't love that West Ham Tottenham matchup. You sure have a lot of West Ham.
You're right. You're right. I do. It actually gets worse.
I'm sure it does.
So, well, it's not that I didn't like it. I didn't rank any defenders there. So
yeah.
So I just feel like it's a lot of average players. So I'll just keep going since. We're speaking of my team and West Ham. I went with a 7.7 Diafra Sakho.
Uh-huh.
And I considered going, I think Enter Valencia was like 7-1, but I just chose Sakho. And then I did a 12.4 Olivier Giroud and a 12.8 Daniel Sturridge. And I don't really love Sturridge because we're just talking about how good Southampton is defensively. Giroud, I think, is a steal at 12.4.
Yep.
Especially when you look at the other, I mean, all of the other Arsenal options, you're looking at Alexis Sanchez is at 14.5. And if you think it's the midfield that is going to pay it, then you're paying 16.6 for Cazorla or 15 for Ozil. So Giroud seems like the easy play there. Welbeck is much cheaper, but he should be. So I just feel like I didn't spend anywhere where I usually spend.
Yeah, I feel the same way. So I took Diego Costa at 13.5. That was my one spend. And I also have Wilfred Bony at 12.2 because I feel like if he plays, there's a real good opportunity there. And this is, if it hits, this is the steal of Mondo Goal, is Wayne Rooney at 8.8. if they finally just say, hey, Wayne, you know that position you played that made you score 200 goals in the Premier League? Go play that position.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they say that, I think that's a steal.
That's so enticing, you're right.
It's just too enticing. And the reason why I haven't made any other changes is because if Wilfred Bony doesn't start, I want that ability to go to Giroud.
Yep.
So I have 300 to spare, and 200 of that would have been taken up for Giroud. And I don't nitpick over 100,000 in this game because it's just personal preference at that point with anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why my gut goes this way.
I was talking with Alex Spalding, who does a few features for us, including our DraftKings weekly preview, actually. And he was saying, and it's my biggest complaint as well about Mondo Goal, is the inability to change players after matches have started. And I don't mean like I don't mean the, you know, within a specific game, but that bony, that Man City game is 12:30.
It's dangerous.
And so your lineup is locked.
Oh, that's right about
at 10 o'clock. So you don't know if he's starting. Whereas in DraftKings, you're able to make that change. In fact, well, though DraftKings would, that's it for Saturday, but you could drop Boney for, you know.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point. So with that in mind, you may have convinced me to go to Giroux anyway. Oh, man, but the volatility on Boney has got to be huge.
I don't know if it's going to be that big. I mean.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I'll be sleeping on that one.
Yeah.
But my gut told me Boney, so I went with it. And I figured you'd be going with Giroux anyway, so I wanted to just give somebody different.
Yep.
It's always fun to be a little bit contrarian. But yep.
I also took Sturridge over Berahino. That was the other. Berahino and Ings were in that range that I could have afforded.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew I wanted Costa this week because Aguero was way too expensive. He was 16 compared to Costa's 13.5.
Yeah, same as Harry Kane.
Yeah. So it's, you know, I knew I wanted Costa this weekend. But either way, that was the one guy I knew I wanted, and I built my team around him. So with that in mind, is there anyone that you feel that you really wish you had? You know, that was either the price was too high or it just didn't work out. Is there someone that you really, is there someone you really, really wanted?
Not really. And I think that almost worked against me because, like, I knew that Eden Hazard was going to be too expensive.
Yeah, that was the one for me. The first person I wanted, really wanted, was Eden Hazard because I captained him in every other team that I have.
But he's at 18.7, which is $2 million more than every other player.
And not only that, it's almost 20% of 11 players.
Yep.
And that's too much.
Yeah, you're sacrificing likely at least two spots, not just one. I mean,
if I was going to go with Bobby Zamora,
I was going to say the $3.5 million Bobby Zamora might allow you to do it.
Yeah, but that's it, and it's not worth it for a midfielder who may or may not score.
Right.
If it was Aguero, you'd have to think about it.
I believe, I'm trying to look it up quickly now. I believe he is the highest scoring player in the entire game, though.
Who?
Hazard.
Yes, he is, because he's a midfielder who scores
by
goals.
By a decent margin, actually.
Midfielders who score goals will always top the list.
So
I'm surprised it's not Alexis Sanchez, because he gets goals and assists.
Sanchez is
considered fourth. A forward?
Well, this is just in the entire game. Sanchez is fourth. He's played three fewer games. And yes, he's a forward.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
Hazard, if he was a midfielder with those numbers, it'd be much higher.
I don't know why this is the case, but Hazard has been credited with 14 clean sheets. Whereas John Terry only has 12. I don't remember Terry missing any games. Ivanovic has 12. Matic has 12. Although Matic did miss a game. I don't know why. But
Matic has missed games.
Yeah. I doubt that. But they were both losses, weren't they? Didn't we say that? Or they were both draws? They haven't won without him.
I think one was a draw, one was a loss.
Right. And I don't think it was a scoreless draw. So we should have gotten all of that.
I thought Southampton was a scoreless draw.
Oh, was it? Oh, maybe. Maybe.
Think so, but anyway, that doesn't matter. But in terms of daily, what percentage is too high for one player for you?
Well, this week it was 13%, but
for me it's 15. If you're 15% or higher, I can't, because there's too many other positions.
There are. I don't think you can just generally say what is too much, because if you, you know, there are always players you can find that are cheap that you can theoretically try to afford it. Like if I, you know, I'm just saying, like if I went with Puncheon and Bolasie instead of Puncheon and David Silva, then I could afford Hazard no problem. So like,
I hate when you interrupt my arguments with facts.
You know, obviously, I think Puncheon and Silva are far better than Puncheon and Bolasie.
Yeah.
Although it's really, so it's, yeah, Puncheon, Bolasie, and Hazard versus Puncheon, Silva, and Stuart Downing. You know, like, you can always make it work if you find the right mix. You just have to know how much you're giving up.
Yeah, that's why you're the expert and I'm not. And on that note, we will exit this episode of the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. Thank you so much, Andrew, for joining me this week, and I will catch you next week when we start talking about teams with empty game weeks or teams with two games in one game week. So more layers upon layers of strategy going forward. We'll get into that starting next week. So thank you very much, Andrew.
Yep.
Talk to you next week. For more great content, go to rotowire.com/soccer. It's all free and it's all for you.